Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
Well, it's an honor to have with me today a friend, a gentleman that I go to church with, Mr. Tom Britt, who is a Lincoln County gentleman, born and raised here. And Mr. Tom, thank you for taking the time to come in and visit with us this morning.
Okay.
Well, I think we have to start because we've been sitting here visiting a little bit before we start recording. And you were telling me about where you are from Lincoln County,
from Lincoln.
Where you lived. Tell us where you lived.
I lived on the county farm. Out here in Lincoln County.
Now tell folks what that may not know what the county farm was back in your day.
It was a prison farm out on 84 Highway right near the city dump is now, is where the whole house and the whole farm was there.
Okay, so now you weren't a guest at the county farm. Tell us how you ended up on the county farm.
My father, he was the superintendent of the county farm, and I used to, if they raised corn and stuff like that on the farm out there, milk cows, had hogs, chickens, you name it, they had it just like a
farm. And that's why they called it the
county farm.
And back then, that's where they put folks that were arrested locally,
right.
I would imagine. And they
anywhere from 6 months to 18 months.
Okay.
Prison term. $25 fine. If it run over $25, they would send you to the pen. But other than that, just small stuff.
You got to visit the county farm and work on the farm.
The county farm and plow mule.
That's really interesting. Now, your dad's name was
Homer Britt,
and he was the superintendent of the county farm.
Superintendent of the county farm.
How about that? All right, you grew up there, and you had a home there, and you lived there. And you said, I think, until you were on up, almost out of high school,
17 or 18 years
old.
I joined the service when I was 18.
And you went to school at Brookhaven High School?
No, Lord Star. Started out at New Site.
At New Site.
And I went from there to Brookhaven, Fair Oak Springs.
Fair Oak Springs.
Hikes Retreat.
Oh, my goodness.
New Site. And Lloyd Star.
And then Lloyd Star.
I hit all of them.
You made a visit to all of them. Well, that's really interesting. But let's get into your military experience, because you and I have talked a little bit, and you were actually very fortunate and very gracious to bring a bunch of old pictures of you actually in Korea, where you served during the Korean conflict. But you went into the Army. And went through basic training. Where'd you do your basic training?
Fort Knox, Kentucky.
And from Fort Knox, you were sent to Korea.
I got out of basic training at Fort Knox. They gave me 1 week leave. I came home, reported back to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. They loaded us on an old troop train.
Goodness.
With wooden seats.
Goodness.
We rode that thing all the way to California. It took 4 days and nights to get there.
Oh, my goodness.
And when we got there, I spent one night there. They loaded us on, carried us out and loaded us on airplane.
Oh.
And they called out 42 of us. All the rest of the soldiers were going to Korea, to Japan, on these old boxcar planes. They called out 42 of us, carried us out to the civilian airline. We got on civilian airline and we flew all the way to from California to Alaska. Got off the plane, eat breakfast, got back on the plane. Next trip was Wake Island. Got off there and eat lunch. And the next time we were in Japan, when we got there, and we spent that night And the next day they put us all in a line and issued us weapons, issued us clothes, all of that. And we spent that night in Japan. And we got on a ship the next morning and we were in Korea in a few hours.
Well, first of all, it was probably fortunate that you were riding on a civilian plane, because I know what a boxcar plane is, and those old Army, Air Force, they were awful. They were small and they
just
were cramped.
That's
right. Nothing real, like an old canvas fold-down seat on the side of that fuselage.
I was a lucky joker on all of that kind of stuff. Getting away.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Korea. Now, you got there. What time of the year was it? Was it winter or summer?
It was in the spring.
Spring. Well, that's
early spring.
So you didn't have to worry about that particular winter, but I understand the summers were pretty tough in Korea, too.
Well, we went through all that summer and that fall and that winter, and I got wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, it was getting...
Well, I think it's interesting. You were telling... we were talking last night at church, and we were talking about the fact that you were in the 7th Cav, which is a very illustrious unit. Goes all the way back to General George S. Custer.
Yeah, I joined the 1st Platoon, 2nd Platoon, 7th Cavalry Regiment,
mm-hmm.
Fox Company, F Company,
mm-hmm.
7th Cavalry, 1st Cavalry Division. That's where I was at.
Wow.
And I think that company and that regiment was probably the most famous regiment of the 1st Cavalry.
Just reading on the on some of the websites, I looked those things up and was reading about some of the battles that, first of all, your particular group was in. Pretty intense battles. Several of the fights were just really huge, fighting the North Koreans. I don't know if you actually, did you actually remember if you had any contact with the Chinese?
Yes.
You had both North Koreans and Chinese.
North Korea and Chinese.
Okay.
At the last there, it was strictly Chinese.
Well, you've got...
That's right.
The North Koreans had been probably pretty much whipped, and then the Chinese got involved. Well, there were several stories, and I think this friendship with a gentleman that was a World War II veteran, I believe his name was Kokent.
Yeah.
And you were telling me that story, and you got to tell us about the pet milk, and then you also have to kind of go into what happened to your friend.
He was one of these type. He was in the World War II. And he wouldn't have anything weapon-wise. He wouldn't take anything but a BAR, we called it.
Browning
automatic rifle. That's all he would pick. And time you would issue him a new one, normally he in a month or so, he would burn the barrels out and they'd have to give him a new one.
Wow.
He would just... That thing would be red hot.
And you said he was extremely accurate.
Nobody wanted to fool with him. He was one of those type. And he was kind of a loner. He didn't take with a lot of people.
Well, I'm looking at one of the pictures you brought with you, and it's a picture of him. And you got to tell us about the pet milk and the backpack that he carries. I say it's because it's not... military issue.
No, it's an old A-frame. He found those Koreans used it on their, strap it on their back to carry their wood or whatever they was carrying on that. And he carried that thing with him all the time. And that was his backpack instead of wearing...
The government issue.
And he always kept an old skillet. Iron skillet. He found one of those, and he would get a carton, square box carton, every month from his, I don't know if it was his brother or brother-in-law, would send it to
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pet milk in it, these small...
Yeah, I remember the little cans.
Little cans of pet milk in that. And he would try to get everybody to drink some pet milk with him, but it was in the summertime and Nobody would have
warm
any
condensed milk. I don't
think
so.
Didn't want any of that.
Right.
Until one night we were had set up a line, and I was having to go down the line and make sure we had been up there for about 40 days. And everybody was wore out and sleepy. And the squad leader, I was the squad leader, and we had to take turns and going down the line, waking them up every hour.
To stay awake, that's right.
A couple of times a night. Make sure everybody was awake. And he clicked his rifle that night, and I knew who he was. And I went on down to where he was at, and he was sitting there drinking one of those cans of pet milk. And he offered me one, I took him up on it. And when I took a swallow of that pet milk, it turned out to be 100-proof whiskey in that pet milk can.
All right, tell us that story.
And he told me, he said, if you ever tell anybody what's in that can, said, I'm going to kill you on sight. And I never did tell anybody about the pet milk.
How was it done?
Tell us now.
This is the first time you've ever told this story.
I've told anybody.
Tell us how he was doing this.
They would pour this pet milk out of the can, his brother-in-law would, and wash the can and fill it up with whiskey and sort of the can.
Amazing.
Back and ship it to him. Amazing. He'd get a box every month.
Amazing.
But, that was one tale about him.
Well, we're going to take just a short break here, Mr. Tom, and we'll be back to... I want to hear how this story ends with your relationship and your good friendship with this gentleman that was a World War II vet as well. We'll be right back. Okay. Welcome back. Today we're visiting with Mr. Tom Britt, Korean veteran, and it did some pretty incredible things during his time of service in the Army as an infantryman, a part of the famous 7th Cav. Mr. Tom, we were just talking about this gentleman that was a World War II vet that you became buddies with, and his care packages that were pet milk. But you were also telling me the rest of the story about your friend. Would you mind sharing how that went?
Well, we were in trying to take this breech line, like we always did, and I was supposed to have my squad was leading. We were always out in front, and he came up and volunteered to go with us. He wasn't. He was in another squad in the platoon, but he came up and went with us up there, and we got pinned down, and. He was one of these type that he wouldn't come back. You could tell him to come back, but he wouldn't. He would keep going forward. And that particular day, we got pinned down from, they had a big machine gun dug in up above us, and they were shooting over us and had us pinned down, and he started to move, and when he moved, they almost cut him in two with a machine gun. So that's how he got killed.
And he had served in World War II in the infantry, and yet he there he was in Korea.
In Korea, both places.
Incredible.
And we couldn't believe it. We thought he couldn't be... He was infallible. He couldn't get hurt, but he did.
Combat is really hard, and the type of fighting that you guys were involved in any kind is terrible. But it takes its toll on you emotionally as well as physically, doesn't it, Mr. Tom?
At times, I have had a company of men consists of?
Yes, sir.
Four platoons makes a company, and it's... probably 30-something men or more to a platoon.
Right.
I've had my platoon to go down to, there would be only one night there, there was only nine of us left out of the whole platoon.
That hadn't been either injured or killed.
Killed, injured, or captured.
Oh, my word.
And there was the next morning we got back to where we were supposed to be, and there was only nine of us left.
Oh, my goodness. That's how many.
You could lose a whole slew of people in 30 minutes. I've had boys to come over there. In fact, one day I received some replacements. And this boy, in 30 minutes, he was on his way back, shot all to pieces. He only lasted 30 minutes.
Goodness gracious.
But if you could have... I always found out when I went there, this guy and my old squad leader, Sergeant Al Macy, they set us down and educated us on what to look for, what the enemy looked like. We knew all of that, and they gave us instructions on what to do.
How to help you survive.
How to survive.
Wow.
And said, Sergeant Al Macy always said that M1 you got in your hand is the best friend you got. Says treat it that way.
Take
and
care
use it like that. Let that friend do you talking for you.
Mm.
And that.
Well, now, I also know, and it's not something that you necessarily talk a lot about, but I also know that you won the Silver Star. And the Silver Star.
Bronze Star.
I'm sorry, Bronze Star. Both bronze and silver are for meritist
actions. Bronze and silver in the Congressional Medal.
That's right.
That's the Army.
I want you to share with us your experience on how you won the Bronze Star.
Well, we moved into this town, a little old small town. That's all it was over there. You didn't find houses scattered out like here. You'd have a little old town. We moved into that little old town that afternoon about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we set up, and they were supposed to bring us hot chow that night, which we only got hot chow about 4 times out of the 11 months over there. And we were really looking forward to going to the chow line that night. They set us up right next to the road. There was high hills on the right side of the road, and valleys on the other side, rice paddies. And they set us up right on the road. We had the road covered and set up in those rice paddies. We were out in the wide open spaces, and they brought 4 tanks up that night, and they were behind us. And H Company took over the hill country up above it. And they brought in the cook train, came in back behind us in a little old valley back there, which was wide open too. And H Company went up there and went to sleep. We went back the next day to see what happened. And they had went up there and lay down and went to sleep. And they came in there, and some of the boys was killed with spears. Some of them didn't even have weapons. But anyway, they took over those weapons. They had 75 millimeters, bazookas, and all kinds of stuff like that up there. And they took over that, and they gave us a runner-up and said for us to send 50% of our men down to the kitchen train, which was just probably 100 yards down the road. Anyway, we sent them down there, and McClure and I were squad leaders. He was from New Mexico. We were sent half of our men down to and kept half there, and that's when they hit. And they knocked out that whole kitchen train, everything down there got killed. They killed everything down there. They had 50-caliber machine guns and 30-calibers. They had everything they needed up there.
Well, tell me exactly what you did to win this Bronze Star, Mr.
Tom. I'll get to it in just a second. Anyway, they shot and knocked out that tank right behind us. So we were behind the tank protecting it. And McClure and I sent a remainder of our men two at a time. We had to go about 75 yards across a little old stream to get behind, get out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got all of them out, and we wound down to just him and me. And I told him, I said, you take the right, and I'll take the left, and we'll meet over there. And on the way, just after we crossed that little stream, he got hit. A bullet hit him, just missed his backbone and came out his side.
Mm.
And I ran back and picked him up, and we managed to get behind the hill.
Mm.
And we knew that the only chance we had was to go and catch up with the rest of them. We knew there was other people over there. So we were by ourselves, and I carried him as far as I could go. He went as far as he could. He told me, he said, I can't go any further. And I couldn't carry him because I didn't weigh about 115 pounds myself then. But anyway, I put him in a ditch, and I went on and got over to the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this low captain, they welcomed us in. And I told him what I had. I had a man over there that was wounded, and I told him I was going back to get. And he ordered me not to go nowhere. He says, you are not going anywhere, or you're not taking anybody with you. He says, he's on his own. And I told him, I said, you can watch if you want to. And there was three of the guys that was in our platoon volunteered to go with me back to get him. And we took off. That old captain, he said, you are going under strict orders. When you get back, you will be dealt with.
Court-martialed.
I told him, I said, you can do whatever you want to. We're going back and get him. And we got back to where he was at. We didn't know what was out there behind us. And we got to where McClure was. We didn't have anything but shelter hazes, and we made wrapped shelter hazes around two rifles and put him on there, and we made it back to our lines with him and got him to an aid station. And I didn't know anything about it. I don't know who put me in for it, but they gave me that. But on the way over there to get him, we picked up another squad of men that was on an outpost, was lost, and they didn't know where to go.
And we were able to get them back,
too. So we got them back, got him back, got him to the
hospital. So you were responsible, along with those other guys, for saving several soldiers' lives.
Yeah.
Incredible, Mr. Tom, and I'm very deserving for you to receive the Bronze Star. And you were also, and we don't have time to go into it, but you also were awarded the Purple Heart right at the end of your tour. Yeah. And ended up going to the hospital, and from the hospital to the back to the States, and you were there discharged. Mr. Tom, I wish we had more time to talk. It's been an honor for me to have you here in the studio with us to share these stories. And again, let me just say to you, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but on behalf of the United States and a grateful country, we appreciate what you did to serve the United States and to wear the uniform that you wore.
Could I say one more little quick?
Sure.
When I got back to the hospital, I missed seeing McClure one day.
Goodness.
He shipped out the day before I got back to the hospital, coming to the States.
My goodness.
And I missed him by one
My goodness.
One day.
Wow. Well, thank you for coming in again, Mr. Tom. It's been an honor to have you in the studio with us, and we are grateful for your service to the United States of America.
Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have equipment to sell? Mid-Delta Auction Company is now accepting early consignments for the January 30th public auction in Greenwood. Get in early for maximum exposure and nationwide marketing. Visit mdauction.com or call 662-299-2414.